to get more and more painful. And then people are going to have all kinds of ideas. They're going to say, I had a nice boy, he grew up and he became a dope addict. I just can't understand why he would do that. Why he did, we were a nice people. We were a good family. In fact, I think we went to church occasionally. But the boy just got out with the wrong people, that's all there was to it. And now he is in an institution and he'll probably die. Why do these awful things happen to me? Why? Because we don't do anything to prevent them from happening. When the time came to give that boy the proper education, the proper insights, either the family didn't know what they were doing either, or they were too busy to pay any attention to what he was doing. So it all goes. Millions of young people. We have about 200,000 a year of really serious juvenile criminals. This is not necessary, not reasonable. And it results also in a terrible headache for the facilities that exist to help these causes. There is no way that we can prevent the problem that we have, this problem of stress and tension, until we realize that we are nervous wrecks because of the consequences of our own actions. We have created a world that will drive anyone into a moral breakdown. But we don't combine or think of the fact that we are doing certain things ourselves has anything to do with the collapse of our culture. Our culture, we think, is something separate. We pay a government 5 times what it's worth in order to take care of this for it. And it's taking care of nothing but itself. All of these things are mistakes that we either have to pay for or live with. So we have tension. We have stomach trouble. We have all kinds of things. It's very difficult to imagine why the ballot should have something to do with ulcers of the stomach, or why we would say that our election, as it comes along, can be held responsible for glandular difficulties in the human system. But the human body is a government. The human system is an organization. It is just as completely scientifically consistent as any other form in nature. And when the human body goes out of kilter, it's because something in the environment is preventing it from functioning. The conditions necessary for a healthy body are the same ones that are necessary for a healthy world. We don't have a healthy body and we don't have a healthy world. We have people who work very hard at some rather prosaic task into their 60s, then they retire. By the time they retire, their bad habits have begun to catch up with them, and their older years are very often unpleasant. There is no need for these things, but we do not do anything to prevent them. Now, we have probably 50 or 75 ailments that are particularly strong in the case of older people today, or develop suddenly and unexpectedly in those of middle life. We suddenly find that people are cut down for no reason that we can see. They haven't done anything wrong. Maybe they spent a couple of nights a week in the bar or something, but they never did anything really wrong. Only 5 packs of cigarettes a day, which everybody does, and they all look innocent. Yet these very same people know perfectly well what they are doing, but they're not admitting it to themselves, and they're not admitting it to anybody else. So they're going into stress. Stress and tension. The tension that is inevitable when you know that what you're doing is wrong. And the stress is inevitable when you keep on doing it and will not correct it. So we have probably half the population of the earth today that knows it's not doing it right. But it'd rather worry itself to death than change its ways. And that's what it's doing. And we're finding new and interesting ways to keep more trouble. And they, again, young people will go out and die for principles that they never learned to live because they were prevented. Education should begin always with what is a clean, basic pattern for living. Education should provide each human being with a code of life that it can follow without fear, that it can go on and know that it can live its life within that code, without unnecessary suffering which it caused it for itself. There's no reason why people should reach 50 or 60 years old before the fact that they've made a mistake catches up with them. Most of them don't even know it, because they've been talked out of the integrities. The man that talked them out of it is also gone, because he believes it. When tension is here, elderly people don't want to live alone. Retirement homes. Homes that break up before the baby arrives. Families in which they're all one-parent families. Some not related or not married at all. Individuals living by any system that they can think of, or that appears to be most convenient, regardless of whether it is correct or not. Well, between now and the end of the next century, this condition has to change. And it will change. The stars in their courses have so stated. There cannot be a continuation of destruction without destruction effectively destroying that which it attacks. It has to be changed. We have to have a new way of living. We have to have concepts of how to build a future, so that we don't have to work on this stress-tension pattern. Nations should not have stress. If they didn't have stress, they wouldn't need armament, because armament is fear of a stronger enemy. And no matter how strong the individual is, there's always a danger that somebody else will get an extra gun. We know that at the present time, nations are already plotting how they're going to destroy each other. And this for human beings who have come up through mere thousands and millions of years of evolution to spend their own lives thinking about destroying each other is really pretty poor stuff. Something nobody has a right to be very proud of. What we really need is simply honest thinking. Thinking that can be done by a 10-year-old child. Thinking it can be done in the backyard with a pet hen or a pet rabbit. Things that are so obvious and so real and so inevitable that there's no question about them. And because they are not questionable, no one asks about them. Because they probably realize that they'd get the straight answer. But if they did, that straight answer would disillusion somebody about something that they're doing every day. So we got sick people. We got people with hospital bills that are much too big. We have a world that has all kinds of knowledge and everything of that kind, and still we have difficulty in breaking the minimum age limit. We may have put on 5 years in the course of history to our lawful expectancies, but we've taken 10 years off by our own dissipation. Everything has got to change. Now, we don't need a theology that is full of thou shalt nots, and we don't need all that abracadabra that goes with it. But we know what we need to do is to relate the fact that a natural universe, a universe of stars and galaxies, this tremendous space manifestation that we know, is not something that was created out of nothing. The tremendous pattern of things that we can see reveals to the ultimate knowable or discernible limit absolute law, absolute integrity, and absolute manifestation. Whatever it is, it's lawful, it's reasonable, and it's right. It always has been. Nothing has ever won against it. Nothing has ever lost that was for it. Now we have this there. The idea of trying to change it, trying to prove, for instance, that the young child doesn't need a home, trying to prove that it does do better with one parent than it will with two. All of this is contrary. If it hadn't been, it wouldn't have been set up correctly. When the two-parent system was set up by natural law in the human family, it was set up because that was what humanity was expected to have. We have been now several thousand years trying to get rid of this. Instead of trying to get rid of the integrities of life, we should be trying to get them built up, strengthen them, and give more power to that which it is obviously the intention of the creating power. We need these things. We need obedience to universal law, and not obedience to the whining of ignorant and even criminal people. We need to understand nature. And there's no reason why a high school graduate shouldn't already know enough to live a clean life, not only for the length of time he expects, but maybe for a couple of extra 100 years if he does it right. We do not need to have all this vast experiment to try to prove something that's no good if we prove it. And when we kindly do prove it, then something comes along and disproves it almost immediately. We need to have a reasonable fear of being wrong, a natural fear, a natural anxiety. But this natural anxiety should incline us inevitably to correct the thing they're afraid of, so that we will no longer fear it. And we will discover that what we thought we feared was really a wonderful truth in disguise, which we were reluctant to accept. When we understand these things and understand them right, we won't have any problems. They're perfectly natural, perfectly reasonable. The archetype of the universe, the great trestle board of the heavens, is there. We know the infinite patterns of life. We see them traced in the rocks. We see them in the mountains and in the seas. We see life in every element. And wherever we see man, we see him destroying life. Well, man destroys enough life, he's going to destroy himself with it. There's no reason why everything that exists should be sacrificed to the whim of man who doesn't even know why he exists or have any real interest in finding out. All he's interested in is being secure and prosperous and important for the few years of his life. Then he will disappear, and his moral problems will disappear with him, but they'll stay with us until somebody solves them. So we can get down to freedom from stress and tension. We all get tired. That's expected. We all have our little problems that we're not going to cure right away. But if we can get a basic set of values, knowing that if we keep the rules, they'll keep us. If we break the rules, they'll break us. And begin by recognizing what constitutes the foundations of a good life, the acceptance of responsibility, the recognition of the rights of others to succeed, the rights of all living things, animate and inanimate, to have their fulfillment in this world of which we are a part, that all things have a right to be considered. The flowers of the field are not there simply to be burned. The trees are not there simply to be chopped down. The animals are not there simply to be slaughtered. All these things have to be corrected and put in their proper relations. And when humanity becomes harmless, it will not be subject to harm. When it becomes aware of the values of life and the principles that it should understand and nourish and protect, it will have a peaceful existence. There's no reason why the human family should not be the brightest and noblest things on the planet at this particular time, and that all other forms of life should gather around it as children gather around the parents, that all the animals and birds and everything in the world would find its place in a world where everything is thoughtful of everything else. This is perfectly possible. We have every reason for it. Most dietitians and nutritionists can prove conclusively that's what we should do. We don't do it. Why? We would much rather pay $15 for a steak and see the animal slaughtered. All these things have to change. And when they do change, stress will change. There's not going to be all this fear and worry and anxiety. We're not going to worry about our stomachs or our delinquent children. We're not going to hope that perhaps we live out our full life and not be destroyed by a war that would just tear down everything that we have. We do not know the mysteries of earthquakes and storms, but in some way the ancients knew that they were sent because of need. One way of reminding the individual that he is not essential in his present condition is that he is removable. If he was right, he would not be removable. He would not be removed. But where he does nothing but cause trouble, he is impartial of good or wrong. He is therefore capable of being expended. So there will be better times coming. But I've noticed in the papers and things recently, the last year or two particularly, more and more people are becoming aware of this. The time is now coming more and more when we're beginning to think And if they're getting to think of how to do this right, get it right from the beginning. And of course, average persons can't do anything very big and colossal about all this. They're not supposed to. Life is not going to be saved by a few colossal people. It is going to be saved when average persons are ruled by their hearts, live according to their dreams and hopes, are kind to each other, worship truth and good, and devote the unfoldment of their lives to mutual service and cooperation. When we have that type of thing, we'll have a good world. And we don't have to have specials tell us about it. It takes years and years and great big 50 textbooks at 500 pages each to tell us how to do it wrong. When to do it right, all we have to sit down and just either open the Bible to the Sermon on the Mount or simply quietly realize the need for the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That if we live right, all these elaborate remedies are unnecessary. And the proof being that the false remedies never have cured anything. And wherever the true remedies have been applied, even temporarily, they have made great contributions to permanent progress. After the wars of the present century, after the tremendous sorrow and tragedy of probably 50 wars at one time in some places, we should realize that we are coming to the time when all this is stupid. There is no need of good people going out and killing each other simply over the fact that some dictator wants the territory. So goodness, kindness, these things start at home. If you say you are under stress or tension, try forgiving an enemy. Try being kind to someone you have neglected. Try doing a service to someone in need. And try bringing a little light of understanding and insight to your children and their children's children. Do the things that are right in a little way. And a heap of little things done right may become the mountain of salvation. We are definitely at a division of the way. We must either go of our own accord joyously to the better things of life, or else we must go suffering from the penalties of our own mistakes. It is much better to go gloriously than forlornly. And the forlornness will not be due to nature or natural law, but to our own selfishness. We have a perfect right to hope, to have as good a life, good a world, good opportunities as we are willing to earn. And we can start earning already. Most people have earned a little already. Just build on the little you got started with and keep it going. And by the time this great emergency arises, you probably will be very comfortable, very well set, and doing what you should have done all the time anyway. That's about the best we can do about it at the moment. Thank you.